91-133-5833.
Estaba viendo a ver si lo retenía, pero no lo
retenía. 91-133-5833. Y además me están diciendo, esta de control, me están... que para la semana que viene ya casi no va a haber plazas.
Ah, mira.
Quedan muy poquitas, pero muy poquitas. Apenas 5, si acaso.
Bueno.
Y yo no sé si vas a estar tú entre uno de los profes. No digas nada.
No lo desvelo. Vale.
Mejor que llamen. Vale. Que no se queden sin plaza, que ya se acerca el verano y querrán...
Sirve tanto para que cuando viajas fuera como para cuando vienen turistas y estamos en Madrid, ¿no? Que muchas veces...
Yo es que promociono lo interior.
Lo interior.
No quiero que se vayan, se queden todos aquí. 91-133-5833. Pero también tienen la información en grupobaugan.com.
Everybody, and welcome to the Drive Time Show. It is Wednesday. It is Wednesday, and we have a great show today. We have two guests in the studio, two guests, and lots to talk about on the show today. We're going to learn all about the newest Vaughn book. It's called Inglés Gramática Fácil, Ejercicios, The Exercises.
Eso
sí, claro que sí, eso sí. We're going to practice a little bit with this book today and put you to the test with your English grammar. And, in fact, we have a surprise. We're going to do a giveaway, everybody. We're going to give away a copy of this book on the show today, so you'll want to stay tuned for this. We have very special guests who I'll introduce in just a moment. Also, coming up on the show, in our history section, we'll look at missions to Mars. Missions to Mars. And it was this day in 1971 when the Mariner 9 departed for Mars on a very important scientific information-gathering journey. So we'll talk a little bit about Mars today on the show. We're also going to look at some interesting expressions and the return of the Drive Time Top 5 lists. Today, the top five world's largest cruise ships.
All right.
World's largest cruise ships, everybody. And our music section is back as well. We're going to talk a little bit about the Beatles on the show today. So let's get things started. I'll introduce my guests right after this. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time.
Kyle Miller. Oh, yes. Welcome, everybody. It is Wednesday, and my guests in the studio. First of all, we have the one and only Claudia. How are you, Claudia?
I'm very well, thanks.
Claudia Martinez, everybody. And you have got a new book. But first of all, my question is, your name is Claudia Martinez. I didn't know that you had, or do you have some Spanish in your family?
Yes, I do. It's a bit of a long story. My dad is Spanish, and my mother is German.
Ah.
And so I grew up in Germany. I spent there most of my life. And then I went to England and did my studies in England. That's where I really learned my English. And then I came to Spain, and now I'm in Spain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've been around a little bit, which is good. You've lived in a few different places, which is cool. Yesterday we had a guy on the show named Yoram, and Yoram was a Mexican who had lived in California and lived in a few other countries as well, and now lives in Spain. So we have this crazy mix of people in Vaughan.
Yeah.
An interesting mix of people, which makes it kind of a fun place to work, I think, right?
Oh, definitely. I think it's great to have, you know, just, I work in the office, so just, you know, I sit across a Polish lady, a Spanish guy, then there's Lucia from... from Texas.
From Texas.
Maite from the Philippines. So it's a great atmosphere and very interesting.
It's a wonderful cultural mix.
So I would assume that you are as comfortable in German as you are in English, right, speaking?
Yes. My native language is German.
German, yes.
Yes,
wow.
Yeah.
That's right. So Claudia has also written various materials for learning German, including the...
Yes.
Alemán Grammatica Fácil, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But today you're here to promote your latest work, which is the exercise book for Inglés Grammatica Fácil, which is, now this book is one of the all-time best sellers from the Vaughan world. So finally, for people who are reading this book and they say, I love this book, but where can I get the workbook? Where can I get some exercises to practice at home? And finally, after all this time, we have the definitive workbook for Inglés Gramática Fácil. So congratulations on finishing
Thank
this book.
You.
And how long did it take to write this book?
It took me about, I'd say 4 months to write it. But I started it a year ago. So I started on it, then I was working on it. Like on and off, but I think 4 to 5 months. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, but it was fun. I love. I'm a grammar geek, so it was great.
Now the man to your right is an old buddy of mine, an old friend of mine from we met in Spain, but he is also a Canadian. He's also Canadian. Now, the man I'm talking about is Mark Finley. Mr. Mark Finley, everybody.
Indeed. Hello.
And the last time you were here, he was here about, a month ago?
Yeah, April.
And people said, he's like Frank Sinatra Jr. because he was singing some, was it Sinatra we sang?
Yeah, you had me sing Fly Me to the Moon.
Correct, correct. And it was very nice. It was very nice. So maybe later on, Mark will treat us with a vocal performance, whether he knows it or not, a little bit later on. But anyway, we'll get to that. We have lots to cover, lots to talk about. But why don't we begin with a little interactive section for the folks at home that we call the Twitter Translation.
Twitter Translation.
Okay, the Twitter translation. The Twitter translation for today, I'm going to give a sentence in Spanish, and you're going to try to guess it, right? Well, not guess it. Hopefully just say it correctly in English. And if you want to participate, Juanjo, how can they find us on Twitter?
Tweet Kyle at I'm Kyle Miller. O lo que viene siendo IM Kyle Millar.
Yes, they call me Kile Millar around
hey,
here.
Kile.
Kile Millar.
Sounds nice.
Kile. Yeah. It could be worse. It could be worse. Okay, ¿cómo se dice en inglés? Échale un vistazo y dime lo que opinas.
Ooh.
Not
it's tricky,
easy, right?
One.
It is tricky.
Yeah.
So take a look.
Wait. We're going to wait for the... this is a teaser here, Mark.
Never played this game. I'm sorry.
We're just putting it out there for the folks at home. And Yolanda says, live, are you, Kyle? Yes, we're live, indeed. We are live. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Échale un vistazo y dime lo que opinas. So in the next half hour, we will explore the answers. But that is only one of the many challenges that we're going to have on the show today. Because, Claudia, you have your new book here. And I understand that you have a challenge for us. And
yes.
The winner, my gosh, the winner is going to take home a copy of this book.
Yes.
So we're talking about the latest book from Vaughan, Inglés Gramática Fácil, Ejercicios, which is now on sale. Can people get this now at the Vaughan shop, the Vaughan tienda?
Yes, they can. They can get it in our, like, on vaugantienda.com and at the Madrid Book Fair. But it won't be in stores in, you know, Corte Inglés and Fnac and so on until, I think, in about 2 weeks. So. Oh.
Well, now is the time to get it anyway, especially with the Madrid Book Fair. Stand number 165, Caseta 165, with a 10% discount.
Yes, and also I'll be there this weekend.
When will you be there?
Hi. I'll be there on Friday from 7 till 9.
Yes.
In the evening, obviously.
Yeah.
And on, excuse me, Friday from 6 to 9:30.
Yes.
And on Saturday from 7 to 9.
From 7 to 9. Yes. Okay. So come meet Claudia. And if you have any questions, ladies and gentlemen, that is the time to find out about Inglés Gramática Fácil. Actually, we're going to find out about it now because you can tell us a little bit about, could you tell us how the book works?
Yes. So for those of you who know Inglés Gramática Fácil, the original book, so to speak, you know, it's a pocket-sized, relatively thick book where you can find all the grammatical explanations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's divided into three levels, beginner, well, elementary, intermediate, and advanced. And the idea is that you study one lesson a day. So you have day 1 to 60 in the elementary, day 1 to 60 in intermediate, and for the advanced. So the idea is you go to Inglés Gramática Fácil, you study your day, whatever day you're studying, for example, to be used to.
What day are we on here?
Day 27.
Day 27.
Of the advanced section.
Okay. Ooh, to be used to. That's a good one.
Right. So there you have, on the left, you have the explanation and then some examples. Now, once you've practiced it and you know the theory, you can come to my book and do some exercises on this.
Yes.
So there are loads of different exercises. There's translation, there's rephrasing, listening challenges where you have to identify the correct structure and so on. So the book really is meant to be used with together with Inglés Gramática Fácil.
Wonder. So it's a way to machacarlo, right? To drill in the essential concepts. And maybe we can try a little challenge here. What if I, can we try one of these rephrasing activities?
Yeah, of course.
Can I do this myself?
Of course.
Do you mind? Do you mind, Claudia? I don't want to hijack your material.
No, please
here.
Do.
But we have an exercise from day 27, the one we just opened up to, rephrasing. So if I say, we're accustomed to the rainy weather, what we're doing is we're using used to. Estamos acostumbrados a. We're accustomed to the rainy weather, and you could say what? Using used to, we're
used to the rainy weather.
Exactly. We are used to. We're used to. Mm. All right. The next one. Are you accustomed to the food? Are you accustomed to the food? And you could say, the rephrase would be?
Are you used to the food?
Yeah. It was supposed to be the other way around. You were going to challenge us.
No, please challenge me.
You do the next one. See if I can get it.
Okay. They're accustomed to the new program.
They're used to the new program.
Very good.
So it's to be used to. Estar acostumbrado a.
Exactly. So, by the way, accustomed, it exists in English. Otherwise, we wouldn't be saying it. But we don't really use it. It's just, you know, for a rephrasing exercise, it's much more natural to say, I'm used to the food, the program, whatever. Okay, another one. I'm not accustomed to this way of doing things.
I'm not used to this way of doing things.
Excellent.
Nice.
She's accustomed to their accent.
She's used to their accent.
Very good. Shall we do...
Let's do another one.
Another one.
I feel like we're on a roll here.
So, I just have a question. Right. So yeah. This is you look at used to with to be and without as well,
or yes,
just, yes, okay.
Actually,
in a different section.
Yeah, the day before, mm-hmm. the lesson before is okay. used to, as in antes hacía mm-hmm. o solía hacer.
Solía hacer. Mm-hmm. Sí.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Okay. Which we can look at later.
Speaking of that, Mark Finley used to live in Madrid. Right.
Right.
Also, he used to live in New Zealand.
Oh,
right.
So
you
now, were... did you used to live in Auckland or did you used to live in Christchurch?
I used to live in Auckland.
Yeah. Mm. Do you know what he used to do when he lived there?
No, I have no idea.
Ask him.
What did you used to do when you lived in Auckland?
What did I used to do? Well, I was a teacher as well. I was a teacher at a secondary school.
Ah, yeah.
Yes, a lovely Auckland Grammar. Shout out to everyone who's listening.
Auckland Grammar, everybody.
Mm. So that's what I used to do.
Now,
you don't need to use that tense. I don't need to say I used to do that. I did that. When I used to live there, I worked at this place, mm-hmm. so I did that. But yes, when you use that, you're communicating that the extra information is that it's something, right? If you say, I used to do this, or I used to smoke cigarettes, well, the extra information is that, oh, now you don't.
Right.
Exactly. Or at least you do less, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, it's like, antes sí, pero ya no.
Right.
I used to live in Canada. I used to go skating. I used to go skating a lot. Did you skate a lot when you were young? That's another way we could say it, right? Did you skate sobre hielo, patinar sobre when you were young?
I did often. Mm. And unfortunately, I no longer do.
Sadly. Yeah, yes. It's a lot of fun. Now in Germany, did you go ice skating? Is that a normal thing to do in Germany?
Yes.
Yeah,
relatively normal, yeah. We don't really have actually, let me think. I'm from the Black Forest area.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So it's actually really nice to go up the mountain, and there are a few lakes. Mm. But it's difficult to get there, and there, yeah. But so I think I used to go to the local ice hockey mm-hmm. Stadium. That was the place we used to go. It was just easier.
And what was the was there a league there? Were they did they have a competitive league in the Black Forest area?
I don't think so. No. Think there was a maybe. Or I don't know.
I wouldn't know, but I would think so because at least the last time I was in Germany, and I did notice that hockey is big there, and your national team is getting better and better.
Really,
and actually they beat Canada in the last on the world stage. I think it was at the.
In the World Championships.
This year.
But final game.
I have no idea. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
It's Germany and Sweden in the final.
In the final. That's true.
Right.
Germany
right.
and Sweden.
So your national team is improving. It's getting much, much better. So
I'm just wondering because Freiburg isn't a very big place. So
Is that your Freiburg? Is that your area?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, why don't we do a little bit of translation for the folks at home who still said, Kyle, I've been listening for 17 minutes, but I don't feel like I'm properly warmed up, right? So why don't we take a step into the warm-up gym?
The warm-up gym.
All right. Are you ready for this? We're going to do a little bit of translation. Are you ready?
Awesome. Yes.
Okay. So what I'll do, I'll give a sentence in Spanish and then you can say it in English, but we'll give, as I say, the folks at home 5 seconds to come up with the correct sentence. Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Okay, number one. Me siento como un hombre nuevo.
I feel like a new man.
I feel like a new man, yes. Okay, number two. Siento como si estuviera flotando.
I feel as if I were floating, is that?
Yeah, exactly. Flotando, okay. Floating. I feel as if I were floating.
Mm.
Nice. That's kind of a nice feeling, I suppose. Maybe in a dream?
Yeah, there's other words for that. It's called drunk.
Well, hey, I didn't say it. Okay, number three. no me cuentes la misma historia otra vez.
Don't tell me the same story again.
Nice. Yeah, don't tell me the same story again. So we have to be careful that we don't say, don't say me. That's a common mistake, right?
Yeah.
Tell me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me the same story again. Otra vez. Again. Again.
Are you getting any input from your listeners?
Yeah. On the Twitter translation, we are indeed.
Okay.
Yeah. We're getting, in fact, you can turn on the monitor there if you want and you can, you can see it. Number five. Levántate y contesta al teléfono.
Get up and answer the phone.
Good, good. 5 points. Well done. Get up and answer the phone. Get up.
What
and,
about me? Did I get any points?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've got five every time. Yeah, you got five every time. It's 15 to, what is it? 15 to 10 over here. Okay. Si es Pepe, dile que no estoy.
If it's Pepe, tell him I'm not here.
Yeah, exactly.
Pobre Pepe.
I don't want to talk to him. Sorry, Pepe.
Who wants to talk to Pepe, right?
This is Pepe, stop calling.
Now, it's interesting. In Spanish, they say, dile que no estoy, that I am not. But in English, that I'm not here.
Yeah.
Que no estoy aquí.
Ah, right.
Right? But in Spain, que no estoy. I'm not here.
I am not. Yeah.
Right? I'm not. I'm not here. If it's Pepe, tell him I'm not here. Dile que me he ido a la playa. Me he ido.
Tell him I went to the beach.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I went to the beach. Here it says, tell him I've gone, but okay, I'm not going to.
We wouldn't translate it like that. We wouldn't say that. Really?
We'd be rizando el rizo, splitting hairs.
Well, if you want a transliteration, yes. But if you. We have a debate about this. But.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not here to argue about it with you, Mark Finley.
No.
Tell him I went to the beach.
Sure. Macho.
Tell him I went to the beach or I've gone to the beach. Me da igual.
Yeah, I think it depends on where, if you're at the beach and you're calling the office, you could say, I've gone to the beach because...
Where have you gone?
Yeah, it's a tricky one.
Gone, quite often, where are you? Where have you gone? Yeah. I've gone to the beach. I went to the beach. Yeah, right. Anyway, okay.
Right, but you know that, I'm not arguing. I'm just saying that it's, of course, this is the issue when you do get into translation. That's the art of it. You can't take it necessarily word for word, or let's say they use this tense in this language. Well, quite often it's the present perfect. We use it in a certain period of time, but it's used a little differently in Spanish.
Yes.
Right? So you can't take it from one language necessarily, although depending on the situation, of course, you could.
A perfect example of this is you say, estoy aquí, I'm here. Estoy aquí desde hace 5 minutos. We say, I've been here for five minutes. We don't say, I am here since, we don't say that. But in Spanish, you can literally say that.
Or they would say, ¿qué has comido esta mañana? Right?
Yeah.
Maybe. And for us, this morning is over. It's finished. So we say, what did you eat this morning?
And even in Spanish, I understand, I'm not a Spanish linguist, but I understand that from the north of Spain to the south, there's also a difference in the subjective assessment of, or the subjective use of when they use present perfect, when they would say, he hecho eso or hice eso.
And South America too.
South America,
yeah,
exactly.
Especially, yeah. Yeah, they, what I understand, I think they, for example, they wouldn't use, que has dormido bien anoche? They would say, dormiste bien, like we would in English.
Yeah, exactly. More aligned to what we would say in English.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's interesting.
It is interesting.
It sure is. All right. Let's go ahead with number eight. I think we're on number eight here. Dile cualquier cosa.
Tell him whatever. Tell him something. No?
Tell him anything.
Tell him anything.
Tell him anything. Tell him anything. No sé mentir. No sé mentir.
I don't know how to lie.
Yeah. And again, it's important here, I don't know how to. We don't say, I don't know to. I don't know how, right? Like the Indians, how. I don't know how to lie.
Am I lying now, though?
I don't know. ¿Cuánto quieren por el cuadro?
How much do they want for the picture?
Sure. Yeah, el cuadro. Yeah. The picture. Painting.
Right.
How much do they want for the picture?
Right.
Good. Very good.
Have we passed?
We passed. Here's an expression, with flying colors.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
With flying colors, right? To pass with ease. Yes. So we still have our little Twitter translation open. Échale un vistazo y dime lo que opinas. Now, in a minute, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, why don't we give out a new question, a new challenge for the folks at home to win a copy of this book. Can we do that after the break, Claudia?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So we're talking about the newest book from Vaughn. It's the Inglés Gramática Fácil Ejercicios, Exercises. And this is a great book to help you drill in, right? Machacar, to drill in and gain fluency with the key grammar covered in one of the most popular books, Inglés Gramática Fácil. So this is the companion to it that you want to have to really internalize these structures.
Yeah.
And it is available now at baugantienda.com.
How much, can I ask?
It's $19.95.
But I'll bet at the book fair, they'll let you have it for $18.
Yeah.
Right?
A little 10% discount.
At the Madrid Book Fair, Feria del Libro, stand 165. That's right. And you can meet Claudia this weekend. We're gonna take a short break, everybody, but we're gonna come back with that contest to win a copy of the book. You won't want to miss that, and plenty more right after this, so don't touch that dial.
De Vaughan.
A ver, Manolo, tú no puedes ir a los campamentos de Vaughan.
Pero yo quiero ir a los campamentos de Vaughan. ¿Por qué no puedo ir a los campamentos de Vaughan?
Porque tienes 45 años, Manolo.
Además, en los campamentos de Vaughan hacen teatro. Yo quiero hacer teatro.
Pero Manolo, a ver, que no eres un niño. Que trabajas en un banco.
Pero quiero hacer tiro con arco.
Apunta a tus hijos a los campamentos de Vaughan. Claro, que si son como Manolo, pues como que no. Llama al 911-335-832. 911-335-832. O infórmate en grupobaugan.com.
Después de nuestros summer camps, no querrán volver a casa. Apúntalos a uno de nuestros campamentos de verano en inglés, sin clases. Este verano, regálales una experiencia inolvidable en inglés con sus amigos. Regálales un summer camp. Más información en el 911-333-5832 o en grupobaugan.com.
Ay, sería genial tener un campamento para mis hijos totalmente en inglés. Y que encima fuesen campamentos temáticos, para que se lo pasaran genial. Caballeros y princesas, Harry Potter, máquinas del tiempo, talent show. Pues si encima no tuviesen que salir de Madrid, ¡buah, eso sería fantástico! Y si además no tuvieran que dormir fuera de casa y pudieran volver el mismo día, ¿tendrán algo así los de Vaughan?
Lo tenemos. Se llama Urban Camps. Llámanos al 911-133-5832 y te lo contaremos todo. 91-133-5832.
Campamentos de inglés sin salir de España. Tus hijos hablarán inglés divirtiéndose, siempre acompañados de nuestros monitores Vaughan. Realizarán talleres, actividades, veladas nocturnas y todo ello en inglés. 91-133-5832.
Vaughan presenta La Píldora del Inglés.
Me lo pasé bien en la fiesta.
I had a good time at the party.
¿Te lo estás pasando bien?
Are you having a good time?
¿Siempre te lo pasas bien conmigo?
Do you always have a good time with me?
¿Te lo pasaste bien el otro día?
Did you have a good time the other day?
Nos lo pasamos fenomenal en Suiza.
We had a great time in Switzerland.
Lo pasé bien trabajando en mi antigua empresa.
I had a good time working for my old company.
Pásatelo bien y no hagas nada que no haría yo.
Have a good time and don't do anything I wouldn't do.
¿Estás seguro de que te lo pasaste bien?
Are you sure you had a good time?
Estoy seguro de que se lo están pasando bien.
I'm sure they're having a good time.
Ella no se lo pasó muy bien en la fiesta de anoche.
She didn't have a very good time at the party last night.
Gracias por invitarnos a la fiesta. Nos lo pasamos muy bien.
Thanks for inviting us to the party. We had a great time.
Ellos se lo pasaron fenomenal, pero nosotros nos lo pasamos muy bien.
They had a great time, but we didn't have a very good time.
¿Qué te pasa? ¿No te lo estás pasando bien?
What's wrong? Aren't you having a good time?
Roche es una empresa farmacéutica comprometida en mejorar la vida de sus pacientes desde su fundación en el año 1896. Son líderes a nivel mundial en productos biotecnológicos y en diagnóstico in vitro. Para conseguirlo, su principal herramienta es la innovación. Ha sido una de las primeras compañías en ofrecer tratamientos personalizados gracias a la medicina de precisión, su verdadera apuesta de futuro. Trabajan día a día investigando y desarrollando nuevos medicamentos, propósito que implica de lleno la tecnología. Roche tiene mucho en común con Vaughan. Juntos trabajan para convertir el inglés en una herramienta de comunicación eficiente y efectiva. Por eso, el próximo 31 de mayo a las 9 y media de la mañana estaremos in company en Roche, en la sección IT de Roche en Madrid. Una comunidad curiosa, inteligente y además divertida. Roche, buscando soluciones innovadoras. Este verano, disfruta, aprende, sigue descubriendo. La radio te acompaña. Escucharnos. Escúchanos en los podcasts. Este verano, sumérgete en Vaughan Radio.
Everybody, welcome back to the Drive Time Show. It is time for our second half hour of this one and a half, take note everybody, 1.5 hour Drive Time Show. Today we're in for the full hour and a half until 7:30. And I don't know if everybody will stay, but at the moment I'm joined by Claudia Martinez, who is the author of Martinez Freund.
Freund.
Sorry. You know what? I think I'm 0-3 on surnames this week because I had a guest yesterday whose name was, oh my God, it was very challenging. It was very challenging. Al-Harif, I believe. And I kind of, anyway. Wow. Anyway, Claudia is the author of Inglés Gramática Fácil Ejercicios, the exercise book. And we're going to give away a copy in a minute. Also joining us is Mark Finley. Mark, the voice, Finley. And we're going to do a little challenge. But first, a little lesson, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll do a rephrasing exercise. And what have you got for us, Claudia?
Let's look at I wish.
Ooh,
I
challenging,
wish,
right?
Which means deseo, but it's also how we say ojalá, right? So, and it's a bit of a difficult, a tricky kind of structure because when you say ojalá hablara bien inglés, we use the past simple, right? Mm-hmm. So we say, I wish I spoke English, right? So we don't say, I wish I speak English or I wish I would speak. The would is only used in very specific situations. So we say, I wish I spoke. I wish you, didn't say that. I wish. So it's, when we talk about regrets in the present, so to speak, we use the simple past. So let's put you to the test. All right.
Ooh, all right.
I'm going to say a sentence with, I'd like to.
Okay.
Me gustaría. So it's a hypothetical situation,
okay,
right?
Okay.
And you have to rephrase the sentence with I wish.
Okay, so pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just say this. Pay attention because you want to coger el ritmo, right? You want to learn this and then you can win. We're going to have a big one for the big prize and you can win it by participating through Twitter, okay? E-M-A, Kilemiyat. I'm Kyle Miller, is the name on Twitter. You can write in a minute once we catch on to this activity. All right, let's get started.
Actually, let me just explain one more thing. There's also a special thing about the verb to be.
Oh, yes.
Because we only use were.
That's right.
In the past. Remember, like the second conditional. If I were rich, you know, we never say, well, some native speakers say if I was or if he was, but grammatically correct is were.
Correct.
So
That's always,
if you use the verb to be after I wish, it's always were. Okay?
Okay.
Now I'm going to put you to the test. Okay. I'd like to be taller.
Okay, for me?
How would you say this with I wish?
I wish I were taller.
Very good.
Thank you.
I wish I were taller.
Okay. It's like the song, but it's I wish I was a little bit taller.
Skilo.
I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a
rabbit in a hat and a baller.
Yeah. And as you say, it's
late
it's
90s.
Quite often.
Late 90s, Skilo, yeah. I believe.
Not just in North America, but in the UK as well. Misuse, right?
Right, yeah.
Because I think, again, subjunctive. It's a little bit of subjunctive there.
Yeah.
And we're just so not used to that in English. We don't understand
it. Mm-hmm.
But it does exist, the last remnants, as we did mention a month ago.
That's right.
So I wish I was a little bit smart. Yeah, I wish I were.
Actually, yeah, that's the thing with songs. It's almost always I wish I was or if I was, because it's more
California
like
Dreaming. It'll come to me. But there's a part in there as well that it's blatantly wrong.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Let's focus on the correct version
focus.
Then.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Next one. I'd like to speak Chinese.
I wish I could speak Chinese.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I wish I spoke Chinese.
Or I wish I spoke Chinese.
Okay.
Chinese. Very good. I'd like to get promoted, Kyle.
I wish I got promoted.
Very good. I'd like my teacher to be more patient.
I wish my teacher were more patient with
me. Very good. I'd like her to make an effort.
Ooh, I wish she made an effort.
Very good. I'd like them to come here more often.
I wish they came more often.
Very good. I wish they came here more often.
Came here more often.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very good. Now a little, shall we go on with the second one or is that enough for now?
This show is getting more and more stressful. Every time I get on here, I get drilled.
He's sweating. The guy is just soaked in sweat over here. Let's go to the next level. Vamos a subir.
All right.
We can do it.
So now we're going to say again sentences with I wish followed by the simple past. So ojalá.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's with so much or so many. Okay, I'm going to give you an example. So I say, for example, Kyle, you smoke a lot, right?
Oh, yeah, truly.
I wish you didn't smoke so much.
So much.
I wish you didn't smoke so much, all right?
Right.
So how would you rephrase, it's very difficult. Now, how would you say, ojalá no fuera tan difícil?
I wish it weren't so difficult.
Very good. I wish it weren't so difficult. We have to pay a lot of bills, Kyle.
I wish we didn't have to pay so many bills.
Excellent. He talks a lot.
I wish he didn't talk so much.
Very good. Our apartment is very small.
I wish our apartment weren't so small.
Very good. I see you get it. you're native speaker.
But the question here is, do the listeners get it?
Exactly. Yeah, do they?
So are we ready for our example? Okay. Let's hear it. So ladies and gentlemen, rephrase this. Tell us on Twitter. I'm Kyle Miller. E-M-A-K-I-L-E-M-I-L-A-R. K-Y-L-E-M-I-L-A-R. Send us a tweet with the correct rephrasing of this. And here's the thing. The one detail you will have to go to pick up the book at a Vaughn delegación, a Vaughn office, right?
Yes.
In Spain. So if you're in Haiti, if you're in Haiti, or if you're in, you know, Ukraine, unfortunately.
Tough luck.
I'm sorry. But for the folks in Spain, here we go. Let's hear it.
All right. Is it rephrasing or translation?
Whatever you want. Let's go rephrasing, no?
All right.
No, don't you think?
Okay. The rephrasing would be... actually, I have prepared...
Or go the translation then.
I think the translation.
Okay, yeah.
since the weather is really bad in Madrid, I was thinking, ojalá hiciera mejor tiempo.
Ojalá hiciera mejor tiempo. Ojalá hiciera mejor tiempo. So the internet lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. How do you say that in, you know, how do you say that correctly in English?
I have to say, that's not something that you would normally say in Madrid.
Because no.
In Brussels or in northern...
We're spoiled.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Just to let you know, I've come down from Brussels. In Brussels, it's actually warmer and it's clear skies.
Yeah.
The second time this has happened, where it's the inverse, where normally I come down for some sunshine, but I guess I brought the rain with me.
Mm.
Is it raining outside?
I think it is chispeando. How do you say that in English?
It's drizzling.
Yeah, drizzling. Yeah. Sprinkling. Mm-hmm.
Well, here
drizzling.
They, they say
chiri-meri.
Chiri-meri.
Oh, yeah, also, yeah.
That's
right.
I haven't heard that.
So how would you, como se dice in English, ojalá hiciera mejor tiempo. Tell us how to say that, and we will, my gosh, we've got, we will have a winner. In fact, we have a few, well... We'll give it a couple minutes and we'll see who writes in. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Ojalá hiciera mejor tiempo. Very good, very good. Now, we may have a winner here, but we'll check that in a minute. But why don't we go ahead? Let's go. It's time to go around the country a little. Do we have this, Juanjo? Yeah, what we like to do, I don't know if you're familiar with this section, Claudia, but sometimes, you know, we like to take English outside the classroom, right? And into the... El pueblo, if need be, right? Or to the beach or whatever, and give people the real English that they want to learn.
Take it to the people.
Take it, exactly, Mark. Well said. Take it to the people with a section we call Inglés para la España de siempre.
Inglés para la España de siempre.
Ole!
Ay, 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 ay.
Ole!
Ay, 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 ay. Ay, 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 ay.
El niño de Canadá. Qué arte más grande.
Hola Kyle, soy Evaristo de nuevo. Te quería preguntar esta vez acerca de estas palabras que te estamos diciendo, que si nos puedes colaborar para nuestra bebé Claudia. Y te quería preguntar en esta ocasión cómo le dices, porque ahora pues está en esa fase que lo quiere coger todo, lo agarra todo, te coge la manita. Entonces, quería preguntarte cómo llamáis vosotros a esto, agarrar cosas, o cuando le quieres decir coge esto o no lo cojas, todo esto. Muchas gracias, Kyle. Eres un majete.
Well, thank you very much. Now we have what would you say? No cojas, coge, we're talking about, we don't really say catch, do we?
No.
What would we say?
Depends on what he's... Are they meaning an idea?
I suppose it's a child and say, hey, don't touch... Stop touching the TV cables, right? So I would say don't touch it or don't grab.
Yeah.
Which is like agarrar, right? Mm. Don't grab that or don't touch it. Don't touch my guitar, little... Mm. Okay. In this... Yeah, little Pepe, whatever.
But if
don't
it were
touch
it,
that.
Okay.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I was just thinking the same, right? Like, no cojas, you wouldn't say don't take it either.
No, I think you'd say, just don't touch it. Don't grab my hair, right? Mm-hmm. For example.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just what's coming to mind is get in terms of, do you get it? Do you get the idea? Do you get
pillar.
The joke?
¿Pillas? ¿Lo pillas?
Oh, is that what, it's not?
Yeah, do you get it?
Okay.
But that's it, yeah. But anyway, yeah, I would say maybe don't grab that. Don't touch that.
Don't touch.
Usually it's don't instead of you're telling the kid to touch something. Usually you're telling him not to, him or her, right? Okay, there we go. Anyway, so hopefully that section was helpful for the folks with young babies. And the baby's name was Claudia.
Yes.
In that example.
right.
By coincidence.
Weird coincidence,
yeah.
Yes.
Now, oh my gosh, the lines have really exploded here with people participating in our challenge.
Great.
We have Noelvis who says, I wish the weather was better in Madrid. Now, now Marulo says, I wish it were a better weather. What do you think of that, Claudia?
Weather.
Well, are we already going to reveal?
I wish it were a better
solution?
Weather.
Well, we can look at that, I think. Uncountable. Weather is uncountable, so we can't say a weather.
No. Now, we got our friend Valentino here who says, I wish the weather were good. Mm-hmm. But it was mejor. It was it wasn't saying good. It was mejor tiempo.
Close.
So Anna says, I wish the weather were better.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a winner. Well, I think we have a correct answer.
Yes.
But my timeline does give me chronological order. We also have Yolanda Canales, who says, I wish the weather were better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Melena says, I wish the weather was better. But we learned that rule a few minutes ago.
Oh, yes.
And we had...
And we have Mr. House's as well.
The first answer, everybody, the first answer that we had, which was 5 minutes ago. The others were 4 minutes ago. This one was 5 minutes ago.
Wow.
Mr. House's wrote in and said, I wish the weather were better.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Would you say we have a winner?
I would say yes.
Definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a winner. So Mr. House's.
Yeah!
You are the winner. Congratulations.
Esto es lo mejor que me ha pasado en la vida.
Claro que sí. All right. So we're going to give you a copy of this new book, Inglés Gramática Fácil Ejercicios, which is a great book and a great tool for working on essential grammar in English. So.
And also, may I just add that there are lots of pasatiempos as well. So it's about the grammar and, you know, practicing the structures, the vocabulary. But also, you know, it's also supposed to be fun. And there's also lots of little, there's more information. There are little boxes that I added with, you know, false friends, pronunciation, you know, everything that makes it really Vaughn-y in the sense that, you know, it explains it in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful. So, Mr. Houses, you are the winner. This is at... David_12, a.k.a. Mr. Houses. Congratulations. So I will send him a message later on and we'll get his details and we'll make sure that he gets a copy of the book. So cool. And remember, if you want to meet the author, Claudia, she will be at the Madrid Book Fair this Friday at?
From 6 to 9:30.
6 to 9, that's a long shift.
Yes.
Right? So she's available tomorrow. Friday.
Yes.
Today's Wednesday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Friday from 6 to 9:30, stand number 165. And then again on Saturday, stand 165 from 7 until?
Till 9.
There you go. Stand 165 in the Madrid Feria del Libro with a 10% discount, nonetheless. Right? So that's great.
Well, it's worth it. She is as charming and lovely as she sounds. So it's definitely worth your while to
Mr. Ooh. Flattery over
here. And you say it's in Retiro. I have to make my way there
in
as well.
You do. You do, okay. Mark, because it's a wonderful, It's a lot of fun in the book fair, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
And I don't just mean the Vaughn Caseta, but strolling through. It's a right. Nice way to spend an afternoon.
This is open air.
Open air. Beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful. Yes.
Wow.
Anyway, hey, do you like history, Mark?
Sometimes.
Do you like history?
Yeah.
Fantastic. The two great enthusiastic history buffs in the studio today as we go ahead and explore Today in History.
Today in History.
All right, we're going to go back to 1971. And on this day in 1971, the United States unmanned, so there was no person... there was nobody in it. Space probe called Mariner 9 was launched on a mission to gather scientific information on Mars. Right, so this was a pretty early in the days of Mars exploration or information gathering, and this was about a 1,116-pound spacecraft that went into orbit on November 13th of 1971 and circled Mars twice each day for about a year, taking pictures of the surface and analyzing the atmosphere with ultraviolet. I don't know how to say that in Spanish. Ultravioleta?
Most likely.
Instruments. The gathered data on the atmospheric composition, density, pressure, and temperature of Mars, and also information about the surface composition, temperature and topography of the planet. So this is very important for gathering key information on this planet and figuring out, you know, the potential, I'm not going to say maybe uses of the planet or interest in the planet, right? Mm. So when the Mariner 9 first arrived, Mars was almost totally obscured by dust storms, which persisted for about a month. But after the dust cleared, it proceeded to reveal a very different planet, one that had enormous volcanoes, a gigantic canyon, and the spacecraft's cameras also recorded dried, what looked like dried riverbeds, right? Riverbeds. So where a river mm-hmm. used to be. So they said, oh, maybe there was signs of maybe water. Mm-hmm. The presence of water, the ancient presence of water, perhaps, on the planet. Now, the first spacecraft to orbit a planet other than Earth was the Mariner 9, and it sent back more than 7,000 pictures of the red planet, as they call it, and succeeded in photographing the entire planet. It also sent back close-up images of the Martian moon, and the transmission ended in October of 1972.
Oh, interesting.
So I think they just shut it off. We got the images, and then they just turn it off, and it floats away, I guess. I suppose.
Yeah.
They don't bring them back, do they? No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Because also, would they explode when they get into, like, when they reach our
re-entering
atmosphere?
Re-entering the atmosphere, yeah.
Like they did just recently with, what was it, Saturn? I think they did it on purpose. They wanted to, they purposely, with the last energy that it had, they put it into an orbit that it would burn itself out. Completely, because they didn't want to taint, I think it was Jupiter, one of the moons. They wanted to make sure that it did not float into Europa, I think, because Europa is the big moon where they feel that they might find life.
Yeah.
On this moon, one of Jupiter's moons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm interesting. The Voyager 2 is still floating out there. Still
That's right.
extending itself from...
That's right. Yeah. And they also have now SpaceX, which is the guy, Elon Musk of Tesla, has mm-hmm. the SpaceX company. And they're the first ones to launch these reusable rockets. Mm. So they're saying that's making it a lot more affordable to launch satellites into space and to launch anything into space now, because they have a system where they can retrieve the rocket. And instead of losing that very expensive rocket, they can salvage it and reuse it, which opens, you know, by becoming more affordable, it maybe opens the door to further space exploration, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think so.
Yes.
Anyway, oh my gosh, I don't think we have time for our music section right now. We're going to have to wait until after the break. But in a few minutes, we're going to look at that. But why don't we critique the responses to our Twitter translation from the start of the show, because we have a lot of people writing in. The sentence today, échale un vistazo y dime lo que opinas. Échale un vistazo. So we had Raquel, who said, have a look and tell me what you think about it. That's pretty good, right?
Oh, that's
have
a good
look.
One.
Échale un vistazo. Have a look and give me your opinion, said Belén. That's good.
Good one,
I think
yeah.
that's good. And Mr. Houses, he's having a busy day on Twitter today. He says, check it out and tell me what you make of it. Ooh, what you make of it. Advanced. Monday's phrasal verb came
is
in handy.
Is he Spanish?
I don't know. I wonder. Maybe he's a giddy who's just here to clean up on
yeah,
the prizes.
Exactly.
Easy peasy writes in. Easy peasy. Have a look and tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Mariana Jalez, check it out. So there are a lot of ways. Check
yeah,
it out.
Then,
hey,
yeah.
hey, check it out, would you?
Mm-hmm.
Check it out and give me your opinion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's probably more informal, isn't it?
Yeah, very
check
informal.
It out,
check
yeah.
it out. Take a look.
Or Belle have a look as well, right?
Yeah, have a look. Take a look. Our friend Saeed writes in from Casablanca, and he says, échale un vistazo, take a look and tell me what you think.
Yeah, take a look at it. I think it's...
Mm-hmm. Or take a look at it. That's right. Take a look
yeah.
at it. Échale un vistazo. Sure. Take a look and tell me what you think, said Enrique. And a lot of other people. Maria Pilar, Melena, Marulo. Check it out and tell me what's... Oh, be careful. What's your opinion?
Yeah,
tell me
yeah.
what your opinion is,
exactly.
you could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indirect.
Take a look and tell me what you think about what you think about, what you think about it, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Lots of people. Jesus Sanchez, another Jesus, my favorite name on Twitter, Nacho Gazpacho. Take a look at it and tell me what you think. So yeah, a lot of people writing in, a lot of people with the right answer. Well done, everybody. Great job.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to take a short break in a few minutes, in a minute and a half. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we're going to look at some music. We're going to look at the Beatles and the song Love Me Do, because this song went to number one on the U.S. singles charts on this day in 1964.
Wow.
Are you a fan of the Beatles?
Yeah, I like them. I don't know all of their songs or anything, but yeah, isn't a fan of the Beatles?
Exactly. That's a good question, right? That's a good question. If people say, oh, I hate the Beatles, you kind of have to wonder, oh,
yeah.
Okay, this person's kind of strange, because most people have at least one or two songs that they like. And also, hopefully we'll have time for our Drive Time Top 5 list in the next half hour as well. We're going to look at the top 5 largest cruise ships in the world. These things are getting so huge. They're like floating towns, right? They have thousands, like 6,000-7,000 people on a boat.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty impressive. And so we are going to take a break. Claudia, are you going to stick around or are you going to hit the road? It's only a half an hour. If you want to join us and sing some Beatles songs.
Yeah.
All right, good. She's going to stick around, everybody. And hopefully you will as well. We're going to take a really short break. How about 4 minutes? Juanjo, ¿te parece? 4 minutes. We'll do 4 minutes. That's right. A quick break and we'll be back with plenty more. So don't touch that dial.
¿Sabes qué pasa, Elena? Que, que tenemos un reloj que va cogiendo hora canaria. Va retrasándose. Y bueno, nos despistamos y tal. Muchas llamadas preguntando por algo. Y una de las cosas que nos quitan de las manos, que casi no podemos ni tomar nota, son los intensivos de verano para los más jovenzuelos.
Desde 4 a 17 años.
Esos son jovenzuelos.
Son todos jóvenes. De 4 a 17. Todos ahí en la misma clase. No.
Aquí está muy bien organizado todo.
Sí, y esto sí que son clases, ¿eh? Esto no son... No, es campamento, actividades.
No, vienen aquí por la mañana, están con sus profes.
En su aula, con su grupo, 8 como máximo por grupo, y hacen, pues, tienen un descansito a las 12 así de cuarto de hora, si no, están en el aula dando clase, pero clases tan divertidas que por eso aguantan las 4 horas de 10 a 2 de lunes a viernes, y no solo que aguanten, sino que repiten semanas y vienen año tras año.
¿Por la tarde también tenemos horarios? O sea,
No, esto es de 10 a 2.
Solo por la mañana.
Luego por la tarde se van y hacen sus deberes, que también hay deberes.
También hay deberes.
Sí. O sea, que les dan un buen...
O se van a la piscina.
También, sí, y hacen los deberes en la piscina.
Y hacen los deberes en la piscina. Fíjate, has dicho 8 alumnos. Estaba pensando, creo que en mi clase había como 30. Pensaba que para aquel entonces éramos 30 en clase.
Ha cambiado la cosa. Aquí...
Que no me parecía mucho, ¿eh?
Joder, la mía 43.
Todo, había así un buen rollo en clase, sí. ¿Verdad? Los intensivos de verano para niños. ¿Hemos dicho las edades?
Entre 4 y 17.
Y un teléfono. Salió el niño el teléfono. Mira, el 911-133-5832. 911-133-5832. Y
las clases son, supongo que huelga decirlo.
Huelga,
toma ya. Needless to say, del método, con método Vaughan. Para los